Good morning, everybody. Charlie Lambden here, moving home with Charlie for another Five Fact Friday, where I report the five pieces of news in the last 7 days that you can verify for yourself happened or were reported. So we don't get into a debate about opinions on them, but you can have opinions about them. But it's the five facts that I think are hitting the housing market hardest. I'm on the road, I'm traveling, family, memorial service tomorrow, so I've got no idea what my internet's like this morning. But nevertheless, I'm going to crack on. So the five facts are RICS, rents, jobs, JESA, and arrears. Those are the five facts I'm going to go through. And below is a link to a page on my website with the links to each of the five fact sources. Let's get straight into number one. So the Royal Institute of Chartered Surveyors put out their monthly market survey this week. And it's important to remember that this is a, they don't measure actual prices. It's a sentiment survey. It's a positivity, negativity balance of survey. Okay. And I've linked to it below so you can go and have a look at the PDF yourself, all the details. And I recommend that you do because they have regional breakdowns. But let's just quickly run through the headlines of it. So they were widely reported in the media as being sort of positive, but actually it's actually marginally less positive than last month overall in terms of positivity for transactions. And sorry, forgive me, I'm a little bit unprepared as I'm on the road this morning. But let's just look at the sales market charts. These are the ones that are actually the most worth looking at. There is marginally less, bear in mind the timing, right? This survey was carried out in the middle of February. We're now a month later. It was marginally less positive than January overall. Regional prices, that graph on the right there, you can see it basically fairly neutral, but slightly down in most areas. Only Northern Ireland showing any positive balance for regional prices in the past 3 months. Regional new buyer inquiries. This is widely reported that there's an uptick in buyers. That's true. But also, the biggest spike is this graph here. New instructions in the past month has jumped to the highest since the sort of wild fluctuations of the pandemic. And if you ignore the pandemic, it's the highest going back since 2012. So that's signifying an increase in supply, an increase in properties coming to the market, a lot more choice for buyers, and a bit more competition for sellers, and a bit more downward pressure on prices. So that's fact number one, the Royal Institute of Chartered Surveyors saying that there's a marginally positive outlook for sales expectations. Fact number two, which a lot of you will be happy about, unless you're a landlord, is that rents are now being reported as dropping, as landlords under pressure to attract tenants. So tenant demand in London has dropped, as I expected it would. As I said about a year ago, I thought would happen, as jobs start to soften, as employment starts to soften, as the cost of living bites, as people's budgets shrink, the demand for rent can't keep going up if people don't have the money to pay it. So this is, I mean, again, in the grand scheme of things, it's going to be quite a small reduction compared to the rises of the last few years. But nevertheless, it's going to come as something of a relief to people who are worried about just ever rising rents. So anecdotally, I'm seeing a lot of weakening rents around the country. There are still obviously hotspots where there are pockets where rents are still rising. But I think overall on balance, rents have peaked. I think they peaked last summer probably and have been gradually coming down since then, but only just being really reported now. So that's fact number two. Rents in London dropped by 10%. That's a report in the Evening Standard, according to figures from estate agency Chesterton. Fact number three, UK's hope for economic rebound fades with slide in job vacancies. That was reported by Bloomberg this week, and its Reed recruitment data shows slow start of 2024, jobs hotspots in the south cooling. And Job vacancies have fallen to their lowest in more than 3 years, reducing hope that the economy will bounce back strongly from the recession that hit last year. And the relevant to house prices of this is that the economy, as in terms of employment and in particular wage growth, are the biggest drivers of house prices. And therefore, this is another negative indicator on what the future will be for the housing market. And I say this for people who need to buy a home now, want to buy a home now, and are trying to work out what their risk is in terms of overpaying and the potential for negative equity in the future. So that you're thinking, is the economy doing really well? Because if the economy is doing well and we can see it growing strongly along with wages in the next few years, then we haven't got to worry about house price falls. But if the economy is looking weaker and weaker and weaker, that suggests a greater chance of falling house prices in the future or prices falling further. So that was number three. Fact number three is job vacancies dropped. I think they're 25% down on the year before, if I'm right. Yeah, almost a quarter in the 3 months of February compared to a year earlier. That's right. Okay, the next... I've got the wrong page there. Here we are. Here's the right one. This is going badly. Hang on a second. Oh, this is going very badly. Sorry. Bear with me 1 second. I'm having nightmares on tab sharing. One moment. Here we are. Share this tab. So this...
So that is a substantial uplift on what's happened. We're on track to build 1 million additional houses this parliament. So that is a substantial uplift on what's happened under previous governments. But we need to do more. I fully accept that. This budget, I would have liked to have had some measures that help people get on the housing ladder. But it is difficult to do that unless you are absolutely confident that property prices are back on the up, because otherwise you are encouraging people to get onto the housing ladder with the prospect of house prices falling and therefore them falling into negative equity. So I didn't judge that it was the right time for those kinds of measures. But is that something I would like to return to at future fiscal events? Absolutely. We're on track to build 1 million.
So that's the Chancellor Jeremy Hunt pointing out that he's effectively worried about negative equity and does not want to encourage more people onto the property ladder just before house prices or the chance house prices fall further and negative equity increases. I think that's actually probably the biggest of the five facts of this week. That is a direct from the horse's mouth. I didn't do anything to encourage people to buy property because house prices are falling and I don't want people falling into negative equity. And obviously with a 99% mortgage, it was the kind of scheme that they were mooting. You're going to be in negative equity pretty much straight away once you've bought, if house prices aren't going up. So that's fact number four. And fact number five was reported in the Financial Times. UK mortgage arrears at 7-year high. Now, let's just have a look at this graph, because it's not so much that the arrears themselves are very, very high. The share of UK mortgages in arrears rose to the highest level since 2016 in the last 3 months of 2023. Okay, but if you look at this graph, so we're down here in the bottom right corner where it's been trending up, and the last time it was that level was 2016. Okay, that's not in itself massive, but the point is that this is the first time that arrears have been trending upwards for over two quarters since 2008. So what you've got to ask yourself is, what do you think is going to happen with those mortgage arrears figures? Do you think they're suddenly going to come down? Are people suddenly better off and able to afford the rising mortgages? Or do you think the arrears are going to get worse as the number of people who can't afford to pay their mortgages increases, as more and more low fixed rate mortgages that were either 2 or 5 year terms come to an end? What do you see happening to that? And if you see mortgage arrears increasing, what do you think that's going to do in terms of houses coming to the market, people selling up, and the effect on house prices? So there we have the five facts of this Friday. It's comic relief today. It's also the Ides of March. And it's inescapably bleak. I mean, I actually tried to look for anything that I thought could be construed as good, positive news for the housing market. And by that, positive housing market news is, in my view, anything that increases transaction volumes. All right. Good housing market is more transaction volumes because more people can move. It's easier to move. There's more choice for buyers. It's easier for sellers to find a buyer. So high numbers of transactions are very good for the housing market because it makes it easier to move and improves social mobility. Low numbers of housing transactions are bad for everybody. It's harder to sell. It's more expensive to buy. Well, there are fewer buyers because it's more expensive to buy and more expensive to borrow. And I really did. I shared in the industry's optimism for 2024 looking like it was going to be a better year for transactions in 2023 because it did get off to a cracking start, an encouraging start. But I'm afraid, finger on the pulse and with my contacts in the industry, it looks like that uptick in activity at the beginning of the year was short-lived and has been fairly rapidly killed by the uptick in mortgage rates that's been happening as well. And now the budget's passed. A lot of people were waiting for good news in the budget to help the housing market. There wasn't any. That's also created a little bit of a drop in people's confidence to move house. And now everyone's just waiting for the election date. But in the meantime, all of the figures coming out just continue to be negative in terms of jobs. So unemployment rising, job vacancies falling. Any sign of good news in the economy would be very, very welcome. But there hasn't been. There's hope, and there are people hoping that this might happen or that could happen. And there was that, I mean, on Sunday, Bloomberg reported that the UK economy rebounding, and then less than 24 hours later, it says hopes for a rebound fade. But the article where they talked about hopes for a rebounding economy were based on nothing more than that, just hope, just pure hope. There were figures out in the US this week showing that the jobs market's getting hotter and their economy is getting hotter. Inflation is not cooling as fast as they expect, mostly down to housing costs. That's not going to help the prospect of the Fed cutting rates. And if the Fed doesn't cut rates in America, the Bank of England won't cut rates here. And if you have any doubts about that, go and look for a correlation between rate cut decisions between the Fed and the Bank of England. Guys, have a great Friday. I've got to go. I'm going to be on the road all day today, heading from the southeast of England up to Scotland. I will be posting and sharing where I can. I'll be still keeping in touch with my team on Best Agent, building stuff there. Lots happening in the background with Best Agent. I haven't been talking about it much with the house price index, that kind of stuff, but it's coming along. I'll update you on that soon. Guys, have a fantastic weekend. Who do we have here? Hi, Shirley X, Jill Hayes. Hang on. Jill Hayes said yes. There was an estimated uptick in GDP in January. So some people are saying the recession is over. But 1 month uptick, as the ONS director who was interviewed talked about, is not something that would be a proof of a recession being over. And it is an estimate and it will be revised. And the 3 months was still negative growth. But any chance of being out of recession will be gladly welcomed as much by me as by anybody. But I think a 1 month 0.1% or 0.2, whatever it was, does not mean the recession is over by a long shot. Jill also says, went to view a house yesterday, almost begging me to make an offer. Yeah, something else, guys, that I've been seeing is people going, should we offer? Should we offer? If you've viewed a house and you want to live there, always, always offer, assuming that you are in a position to do so financially and you want to live there, just make your offer. Just make it. You'll never know. Who else we got? Savkin, Lim Shepherd, Leo. Hi there, guys. Chris Lever. Chris Lever says chronic relief would be good as well. Yes, wouldn't it just? Okay. Lisa Ann in Kent says councils in Kent are apparently still very behind with buyer search packs due to cyber attacks and are holding up sales. That is frustrating. So one of the things that can slow down transactions is local authority council searches can take a long time to come back. And if you've got councils that have been hit by cyber attacks, that's going to affect one's actions. My neighbour is affected. She says the council can't say when it's going to improve. Good morning, Pedro Santos, M.A., Alfredo. A.M. says in response to Jeremy Hunt's message, it's okay, you've only had 14 years to build more houses. Right, guys. Yeah, here's the last one. AM says, local estate agent says everything's selling, but the number of properties on Rightmove not selling keeps going up. Yeah, absolutely. Right, guys, have a fantastic one. I've got to go. Stay safe. Have a great weekend. I hope you get to enjoy Comic Relief this evening. We could all use a laugh, couldn't we? I will see you on the next video. Thanks, guys. Bye-bye.